Praise God. No, I got it. Thank you, sir. Thanks, guys. Wow, what a song to come up on, huh? Yeah. Feel like I preach something really militant right now. Shoo. I enjoyed that song. Yeah. You know what would be more awesome than just singing that song? Letting that be your song when you stand before Him on that day. Seriously, let me just talk about this for a second, because that song's got me stirred up. I thought, Lord, this isn't fair. You got to sing a song like that and invite me up. I'm like all these scriptures bombarding me. Because the just live by faith, not feelings and emotions, faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So you have faith based on truth. Faith and the word go hand in hand, right? Feelings, emotions can be very deceiving when you're not looking at truth. So how do you live a song like that? You're not going to do it without faith. Hebrews chapter 10 comes to mind right now, and it says, don't throw away your confidence, has great reward. You have need of endurance. So after the will of God is done, you've received the promise. You're not going to walk out the will of God without endurance. There's pressure. There's things. That's where diamonds come from, pressure. You guys know why they're saying diamonds. You know the history of diamond and where it comes from and the whole coal diamond thing. It's amazing. The enemy, his strategy, he can't defeat God. He believes he can defeat you. In fact, he doesn't even believe you love God. He believes you just need God. And there's a difference. Yes. There's a difference between needing him to meet a need in your life or loving him with your life. Huge difference. Yeah. I'd encourage you to take a step from needing him to loving him.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, he's convinced he can stop you. He knows he can't stop God, so the best thing to do is stop you. Stop God in you. What was his decree? I'll rise above God and I'll sit in the highest throne. I'll sit in the highest place and I'll be God. That got him cast out of heaven. So now he's walking the earth, and you and me are made for God's image. We are made for the similitude of God. We are made for him to live inside of us and to live through us. That's why we're on the earth. Read your Bible. The reason God made man is to live inside of us and shine through us. That's why people are here. Like, you're not here for any other major reason. There's a lot of other things, but the number one reason you're here is to be found in his image. So Satan gets cast to the earth. He's walking the earth, and here comes man all of a sudden, made in God's image. Made, didn't take long, I guess, for a voice to come that wasn't God to suppose and to... Here's what the enemy does. You want that song to be your life. You really do. You want that song to be your testimony when you stand before the Lord. Not just an emotional, excited time or come here because you are hurting and you sing that and it gives you fresh hope. No, no, no. You settle some things in your heart.
Yeah.
I'm alive for one reason.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not looking back.
Yes. Come on.
I'm going after God. I'm going to live by faith.
Yes. Yes.
He shed his blood to settle this thing and establish it so God could come back inside of me. He didn't shed his blood to bless me. He shed his blood to transform me, to forgive me for who I was and transform me into who he created me to be, as if Adam never sinned, never ate the tree, as if nothing was ever lost. He restored all things. He made it all new. Come on, this is true. So we got to get renewed in the spirit of our mind, get our minds renewed, get our hearts get changed by the gospel, by the truth. If it's preached clear, our hearts go, whoa.
Right.
You know, if it's just a bless you thing, just go to heaven. If it's miss hell to make heaven,
Right.
Somebody just said to me last week, they were presumptuous. They said to a friend, not to me, they said, well, he doesn't believe in hell. He never talks about it. Just because I never talk about it from the pulpit doesn't mean I don't believe hell's real. I don't talk about hell from the pulpit because I don't want hell to be your motivation to go after God.
Yes.
The love of God's your motivation.
Yes.
God's love for you.
Yes. Yes.
Hell has nothing to do with it. How we got into preaching heaven versus hell is beyond me. Well, it's not just about love, it's about judgment. There's not one scripture that teaches me the judgment of God leads men to change. It just leads men to fear and human fear, and then they try to serve God, and then they feel like they're missing that, and then they always feel indebted and condemned and never have intimacy and are never changed. So then they find their identity in doing things for Him instead of becoming like Him. Because if you don't have intimacy and relationship with God, you'll get reduced to serving Him and doing things in His name. That's a reduction. Because you'll wrap your identity around your doing instead of your being, and you'll never actually be free. You good? Man. The enemy, we're not glorifying him now, we're just not unaware of his devices. And we give him no place. So he loves to work with things that make you self-centered, self-focused, sorry for yourself. What I've been through, how I feel. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what it was like when I was growing up. You can't believe what so-and-so. He loves when you turn inward and think for yourself. It's a very lonely, non-productive place. Unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it's alone. But if that seed dies, it'll spring up and bear much fruit. And in this, the Father's well pleased. That you bear much fruit. We're not trying to make it. We already made it when He raised from the dead. When Jesus raised from the dead and you accepted Him as your Lord, the governing supreme factor of your life, the Lord, you already made it. Now there's things we need to know and teach and secure in our hearts, but I promise you spiritually, we have won. If we ever see that, like totally accepted in the Beloved, completely clean and free in His sight. Then if you start where He finished, you're going to run really well. So I want to get back to this song quick. Here's what He does. There's this war going on. You have to understand the way this song will be your legacy and your resume when you stand before God, and it won't ever just be a moment of excitement in a service, which you need to sing this stuff, right? I'm not correcting that. But let this stuff we're singing is so powerful, it's got to be our life.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? So He comes, you sing a song like this, He comes to whispers, people stuff, circumstantial stuff, here we go again, everything's going good for now, knock on wood, whatever that means. And all of a sudden you don't even realize you get reduced to living for better circumstances instead of living to respond like Him in the midst of it all, like Him.
Right.
I've never in my life, I've been saved 22 years. It's safe to say this with the film thing going and the recording and you all sitting here. Don't get compared by me and don't judge yourself based on what I'm saying. Just think about it and I want to take you somewhere with this. I've never prayed that way. Like, I've never prayed for good circumstances. I believe God's hands on my life. I believe things will work out to the good. But I don't, just because the people that are praying for good circumstances, I've noticed when the circumstances don't go the way they're praying, what did I do wrong? What door did I open? Why God doing? What did the devil allow to do? And they get in consternation, their identity's never settled, and then they don't shine in the midst of adversity. I'm not living for good circumstances, I'm living to shine.
Yeah, that's good.
My number one goal is to shine. Are you with me? Come on, be careful. Some of us have been Christians for a while, and if you think back, the majority of the messages we've heard, the messages we've heard preached to us benefit us, bless us, serve us, instead of change us, transform us, and empower us. So you got a lot of discouraged people that go to church that song's not their life. Because they're only as good as it's going. Instead of as good as He is in them, and they miss the why He's in them. Yeah? The enemy loves to interfere with the similitude of God. He's attacking the image of God in people. He likes when you just believe, well, that was Jesus, and All the stuff we say that's negative. Well, you know, we'll never be perfect, brother. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just talking about a pure heart that takes you where you thought you could never go. Where grace empowers you to live days that you didn't think were possible, and then you can hardly talk about it because everybody else's experience compares it, and we call it heresy. Just walking holy, just living holy, just not even thinking about sin, just living in fellowship with God, being led by the Spirit. You can hardly talk about it in the church because we think we have to sin every other hour. You can't talk about it. And as soon as you try to talk about sanctified living and in fellowship with God and living by the Spirit, heresy flags go up everywhere because we weigh ourselves by ourselves and say we're following Him. And we let our experience dictate truth instead of His life. Wow. He invited me in. He invited you into who He is. And He put Himself in you to seal the deal. So you're very deceived when you say, well, brother, we're probably sinning right now. We just don't know it. Stop that. Stop it. That's not humble. That's deceived. How can you reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God if you sincerely believe you're sinning every moment? How can you be free from sin and cleansed of all sin and cleansed of all unrighteousness and holy before Him? Well, brother, simply through the blood. No, no, no. The blood cleanses you, but the truth transforms you, puts a new desire in you, takes old things away and imputes diligence and honor and restores you back to some things we were in the first place, where this enemy has no access. And Jesus says, the ruler of this world cometh. He has nothing in me. If He said that and He told me to follow Him, I must be able to live that by the Spirit. You messed me up with this song. Are you guys okay? Am I okay? The enemy wants to interfere with the similitude of God. He loves when you're hurt. He loves when you're jealous. He loves when you're offended. He loves when you're competitive. He loves when you're insecure. Oh, he feeds on it. He loves when you're self-conscious and low-esteemed. When you're God's child from the beginning, predestined to be adopted in as a son or a daughter. He loves when He can get you to believe His lie instead of flourish in the truth. He loves when you're hopeless. Why? Because He's the only one in the universe that has the right to be hopeless. There's no chance for repentance. Jeff, there's no change for him. He's done. His deal is sealed. There ain't nothing that's going to change that day when it comes. Jesus walking in the earth, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking as a man in the Holy Ghost, devils in people perceive Him and go, ah, it's Jesus. It's in your Bible. They go, it's you. Like they're freaked out. Like, what are you doing here? You're the Lord. What are you doing in a man's body? They were so blind to what was going down. Because steal, kill, destroy, steal. They just steal, kill, destroy. So when they kill Him, they think they're winning. Ah! Big mistake. Big mistake. And if you read your Bible clear in Isaiah, God's sitting there going, come on, come on. Hit Him again. Hit Him again. Kill Him. You think God cried on the day Jesus was crucified? It pleased Him to bruise the Lord and cause His soul to grieve when He made Him an offering for sin. Why? Because He knew one son would bring forth many sons. And He knew on the third day He would send one Spirit. One Spirit. His name is Holy. He wouldn't send Michael and Gabriel with a legion of angels and armies and myriads of angels, I mean, and sent them in the back and walkie-talkie, Michael, come in the side corridor. If they press me in, I need you to come. And Gabriel, come in from the south. And he sent one spirit into the realm of death and darkness, and his name is holy. Good to see you guys. And he walked in and lit up the place, and there was nothing. Nothing that all of the hordes of hell could do to stop him. Now that tells you how powerful he is. Wasn't a fight. He didn't have to muscle up. Just light walked into darkness and did what it does. And he lifts up Jesus from the dead and raises him according to the spirit of holiness. By the power of God, he lives. And you and me are justified now that he raised. So the enemy's only thought is keep us blind, keep us diseased. Let's make this cross something else. Let's let it mean something else. Let's in time get it so Easter, Christmas, blessing, provision, protection. Let's make every message be about them. Let's let every message be about what they can get from God and hide what they can become now that he's done what he's done. Let's just sweep the message away and let's just play on the selfish tendencies of fallen flesh and let's get them to preach a message that serves them and blesses them and spares them from judgment in hell and just gives them life forever. I mean, who wouldn't want that message? Wouldn't have to become nothing, just receive something. Get them to fight over their doctrine. Get them to build streams and camps and buildings and places that God never inspired. Get them to argue and fight instead of make peace. Make sure. He's not doing that in your life. Make sure there's nothing deciding who you are but what he did. Amen. That's where faith comes in. Oh, you could say, but brother, you don't know what it's like living with my spouse. You don't know what my children have put me through. You don't know what my parents are like. Lies, deception. Stop it. Don't let one person and what they did and said decide your life if their name's not Jesus. So the just live by. You got to settle some things tonight. If you're going to sing that song and I'm in the house and you're going to hand me a mic on the heels of that song, then that song needs to be our story. Look, if I took a survey, you were honest, some of you'd raise your hands. Who was deceived into hopelessness? Who let circumstances get so in their mind and the reality of what they were in the middle of and going through, whether it's physical or spiritual or soulical or just so close to home? And you know what I mean? Adverse circumstances, trouble, man, in front of you. Who's ever viewed it in such a way where you became hopeless? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm telling you, that's the strategy of the enemy because he's the only one that has the right to be hopeless. And he loves when people made in the similitude of God get deceived into hopelessness by thinking for themselves instead of the kingdom. Yeah. Seek ye first. Watch this. It doesn't even say your well-being. Because you're already well. Seek ye first. So if you think for the kingdom and seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, the way he views you through his son daily, you're going to do pretty good. You can't die. You're never going to die. You're just never going to die. So you already won. If we would get that, really get that and get militant about that and say, you know what? I'm in a transition period. I'm a pilgrim. This isn't my home. I'm heading somewhere. I'm just passing through. The patriarchs of faith, they understood that. They write about it and they tell us to get that mind in us. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. Man, we're not Christians just for now and things to go the way we hope. We're Christians for all time. We're writing a legacy that's going to bring glory to His name forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm not going to get deceived into living for a blessing today if it costs my disposition. Why? Because kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. Scatter your whole life. You just scatter seed with your attitude, your responses, with your faith. You scatter seed with your disposition. People around you know you're being treated wrong and they can't see it in you. People all around you know you've been cheated and you don't live like nobody that's been cheated. And then some people that don't get it think you're too nice or passive or a pushover, and they might even try to talk to you about it. And then you get to tell them why you live the way you do, because they even asked. They came and asked. You say, oh, I'm sorry if you see this as passivity. No, I'm just following someone I adore. And his life has become mine. And the biggest thing he saved me from was me. And before him, I'd be a basket case right now. But now that he's come, man, I feel life inside of me. Yeah, but I see what you're going through. Yeah, but I know what he went through. Yeah. And I understand why. And I'm letting that matter more.
Yes.
I spent my whole life letting things matter more when they didn't matter most. And now I got it straight. For me personally, that's what's wrong with me. Every time you'll see me, it's what's wrong with me. Both my children running off and doing things they wouldn't ever had to do. My wife being in trouble soulically. My mom passing from sickness in the midst of seeing healings all around me. You better be careful. You don't think too much about all that. And you better make sure you shine through all that. Because we already won. Be great if they'd all make great decisions all the time. Be great if you and me would too all the time. But my life is not dictated by what you decide to do. My life is dictated by what He's already done. So love is established, faith is settled, and this thing can't shift. Come on. Are you guys okay? I feel this challenge in a few folks. This is okay. Think about it. I'm preaching the power of the gospel. It changes you. It doesn't just bless you. It changes you. The things that you and me might call blessing, we might be in our weakest place when our basket's full. I hope your basket's full, but He doesn't want your basket full when you be weak.
That's right.
He doesn't want you worshiping because the rent supernaturally got paid if next month it's not paid on time and you're at church like this needing prayer. Living from moment to moment, blessing to blessing. Encounter to encounter. Touch to touch, instead of just surrendering and being found in Him.
Amen.
Nobody has to treat me right today for me to be all right.
That's right.
And you're just not going to change that.
That's good.
22 years hasn't changed that. Don't think I haven't experienced life like you have. In fact, comparing our stories is frivolous. To try to decide who's been through the most hell and then sing it's all about heaven would be sad. As if going through the hell would matter. Come on. I know we haven't understood that totally. We always think we got to tell our story. Some stories in this room are way more tragic than others. Some are way darker than others. Some are way more lascivious than others. But it all required the same price and it all brings us to the same place.
That's right.
So the best we could do by surveying everybody tonight to find out each other's story, all we'd do is find out who in this room has been through the most hell. And then what? And then what? Potentially feel sorry for them? Be glad we weren't through as much as hell? What would it accomplish to fix on what we've been through rather than what he's been through? Because I'm saying this straight, and I promise you this. You'll only ever truly find you through him.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you find what he went through and why, you'll find you. And nothing can ever lie to you again. Oh, it'll try. And feelings. But because you have relationship and you live by faith, you push them off and you sing that song. And you keep on moving forward. Are you with me? So let me just settle something. Most of you know this, I think, but sometimes we have a knowledge here. When you really know it is when you live it. When it becomes your life, it's passed from your knowledge to your knowing. When it becomes your life. You don't know the Word unless you've become the Word. The Word you've become is the Word you know. It's not about quoting Him. It's about becoming like Him. You quote your whole Bible and be mean. You can quote scripture to tear people down and hurt them. And just do the one side of Jeremiah instead of the build up thing.
Yeah.
You just can. In fact, I've met people in my Christian life that could quote that word like, wow. But they were so mean. And missed the heart of God in the process of memorizing his word.
Yeah.
So they let their knowledge puff them up. And they thought knowing His word and what it says is equivalent to knowing him. You can know what his word says and not know him at all. And very simply, not my sermon notes because I don't have any. But the Bible says if you love, you know him. 1 John 4:7-8. And if you don't love, you don't know him. It doesn't even say you don't see your need for a Savior. It doesn't say that you're not sincere about forgiveness. It just says if you don't love, there's one Bible reason. You don't know him like you could. Which means I can't know him and not become like him. So what an invite into relationship. For this is eternal life. That you pray a prayer to get your name in a book called life. For this is eternal life that you might know him, the only true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Knowing him is transforming. You can only find your true identity through him. Your true value through him. Your true worth. Life has lied to every one of us. People have made some horrendous mistakes, some accidentally and some intentional. It's amazing how they both seem to hurt when we don't know the truth. So then one day we hear this message, and then if we only hear it in a God serve me way, now we think we have this in with God and he's going to control everybody around us and make them live suitable. So now instead of weeping for our boss, we're wondering why God hasn't knocked him off his high horse yet and why God lets him talk to me like that since I'm yours. And all of a sudden you forget to go to work and shine. And all of a sudden you're looking for a new job because you can't stand your boss. And wondering why God let you work there so long. And the whole time you're forgetting to shine. And I hope God keeps you on that job. Till you get a revelation. It's good. Because if you leave that job, you're going to stay so vulnerable. And the enemy's just got a field day with you. And he'll just see you at church. Holy, 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 holy. And it's like, wow, look at them. And you're just mad at people. And you think God owes you better. Waving those flags won't change the world. And being mad at your boss sure won't. Becoming love has to.
Yes.
And it makes waving those flags a whole lot sweeter.
Yes.
You can let those flags take the place of knowing Him. You can let that gift and that amazing worship. This guy, every time I hear him, I say, he's better. Every time I get around him, I say, how can he just get better? We're sitting here talking. Tina and I are like, yeah. And she's dramatic about it. She's like, It just. That's kind of how you did it. And I said, and then he gets on that roll with them intimate songs and he takes them, and you don't even know how to express what you're feeling inside. You're like, you don't even know what to do. You stop, you kneel, you lay, you get up. Nothing works because your heart's like, did anybody ever experience that? And he just, and then he goes, and he takes it up a little more, and you're like, no, no, you're too good, and I don't know what to do anymore. Isn't that what we were talking about? You do it to me all the time, and you're better every time I get around you. But he could let that become him, his identity, and take the place of knowing him. And that wouldn't be cool. I could let this take the place of knowing him. And I could just feed off the fact that he gave me a mic and I could share and you're listening and find my identity and my value in standing in front of people. And the nice testimonies and the thank yous and the whew. That would be weird, just weird as it looked, me acting it out. It would be weird, just as weird as I looked. So I have to do that so you never fall into that. That's weird. It's weird. That was your vaccination from weird. Come on, I just don't want us. That song is so amazing. Let's not get so good at doing church and this being her.
That's it. Yes, yes, yes. Come on. Yes.
It makes doing church so much sweeter.
Yeah, that's right.
When you are her.
Yes.
When you come in here from a challenging circumstantial week and you're full of joy, you're in love with Jesus more.
Amen.
And you've shown mercy to people.
Yes.
And you've walked in forgiveness. And you've been like him towards you to others.
Amen.
You'll know when you're not doing that, when the words of your mouth and your actions, you can't put them on him. If you can't find in his mouth what you're saying, if you would put what you're saying in Jesus' mouth and it would sound weird, you're way out of bounds. Because he didn't teach you that. Because you would never hear him say that. So that means the fall of man taught you that. The wisdom of the world taught you that. Human rightness taught you that. Yeah? So if you can't put your mindset in him and make it fly, you're being deceived. Well, I wouldn't be hurt if they didn't. Right there is an automatic just hurt. It's amazing how we're always trying to forgive. It means we're in unforgiveness. Why do we have such a grid for unforgiveness when we've been forgiven of everything we've ever done? So maybe we haven't received a total forgiveness. Maybe we don't see ourselves completely forgiven. Maybe we've never been overwhelmed with just the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. To where you stood in your bedroom all alone with Him and knew you were clean. I'm convinced people that have a hard time forgiving haven't just tasted the beauty of forgiveness where they were just clean. Where God actually saw them as if they've never sinned and gave them brand new life. And even if they went out with that new life without willfulness and bumped into weakness and went, ah, and ran back to God, not naked and ashamed, ran back to God, and He still sees you as if you've never missed it. So all of a sudden, this gospel's not empowering you to sin and get away with it. It's teaching you how to be free from it.
Yes.
Oh. I'm just convinced. People say, well, brother, it's difficult. Give me time. Sometimes things take time. Thank God He ain't sitting there. Still didn't send Jesus. Well, I'm just trying to get over some things. I know it would be pretty merciful, and a lot of the scriptures, they talk about me being merciful, but you don't know what the world's put me through. And I mean, about the time I think they're for me, I realize they're really against me. My trust is shattered. It's good I don't slumber, or they'd keep me up every night. A little tough watching over the world. Now you want me to just send my son and sacrifice him to a bunch of people that I don't even know if they're going to care in the long run. I don't know if I'm willing to pay that kind of price if I can't know up front that they're going to do a little better with their time in their life. I just need time. When you put that illustration in Father God, knowing what the Word says and who He is, it's hilarious, sadly hilarious, but the reason it's hilarious, because we know it's so not the truth, but we were made for His image, so why isn't it hilarious when that attitude is ours? As He is, so are we in this world. As the Father sent me, so I send you. The things I do, if you believe, you'll do. Wow. So if that sounds silly, putting it on Him ought to sound real silly on us too. Because Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Glory, any made seen, any manifest, made known attribute of God is the glory of God revealed. The Christ in you is the hope of God being seen and known. You are the body of Christ. I love painting all those illustrations. I do them in my mind and my life all the time. Keeps me sober and sharp. Keeps deceptions far away. That little thing would creep on you, especially back when I first got saved, and that little thing, just that little familiar, just feel sorry for yourself about something. Somebody just didn't appreciate you when you meant well. And somebody said your well wasn't well. Yeah? And you've been taught your whole life to react to that, not to shine. So I'm getting renewed in the spirit of my mind. I'm not being conformed to the world. I'm being transformed by thinking. You know what the renewing your mind means? Thinking like you've never thought before. So where do I get these new thoughts? From a new and living way. From the one that came. That shot out of dry ground, that root that sprung up. That's where I get it. He said, don't let anyone be your teacher. You have one. And He's the Christ. And when I read that, I realize a lot of things have taught me. And if I can't find it in His life, then He didn't teach me that. If I can't see it in Him, I don't want to see it. And all of a sudden I realize I've had many teachers. And He said, I have one. He said, learn of me. Whew. Man, that's just good, solid stuff. It makes my heart so happy inside. Sing that song, will you? And then hand me a mic. That ain't even fair. I've been sharing a vision. It was so long ago, I just stopped sharing it over the years because it was so long ago. But who knows that truth is timeless. So the last few weeks, the Lord's been saying, I need you to share that vision more and more. You've not shared it for a while. And He put it on my heart months ago, and I shared it in a service. And then 3 weeks ago, I shared it. And last week, I shared it. It's a very powerful vision. It wasn't an open vision. An open vision is when you're standing there and everything that you see turns into something God wants you to see. It's only ever happened to me 3 times in my life. It'll freak you out. You think you're ready for stuff. You're usually not. The one was very intimate and personal, and it didn't freak me out because it was so empowered with his intimacy. The other one, I was overwhelmed and couldn't cry. I couldn't cry hard enough to express how overwhelmed I was, and I couldn't talk. And the other one was pretty overwhelming too. This wasn't an open vision. I had my eyes closed. I was praying in my bedroom, and I was praying for our city. I was praying for the church. I was just praying, and I was like, whatever you want me to pray, burn it in my heart. And I was just there, available in the room to pray. So I was praying. And in the middle of praying for us, with my eyes closed, a vision overtook my prayer. Ever happened to anybody where you just saw something that captivated you that you knew was bigger than just your mere imagination? It got my attention, it froze me, and it carried on like a picture with my eyes closed, like a movie. Hell was enraged. I realized it was hell right away. I saw these dark caves and corridors, and they all met one big space, like a big living space, and there was caves and corridors meeting this one area. It'd be like a room like this with caves. And all the people were in that area, and they were mutant little messed up little things. And they were black and nasty, and they were going crazy. Blasphemous phrases, freaking out, screaming, "You idiot, we should have never listened to you, we should have never followed you." It was that kind of stuff. And the whole time it's unfolding, God's given me an impression that that's hell, they're demons, and this tall figure head and shoulders above the rest, which represents authority. He was taller than all the rest. He was just standing there cloaked, bent over like this, and motionless. And they're screaming and thronging him and freaking out. And I saw a paper headline go by me, a newspaper front page, go right by the vision across all this craziness. And in black letters it said, "Jesus Christ raised from the dead." That was the headline. And hell was freaking out. Because after he was raised, they realized, oops. And all the scriptures started to unfold to them. And God had played them like a pawn. And he got them to do what they instinctively do, to play into his plan and into his wisdom. And they were freaking out, and they were saying this, "You idiot, you fool, we should have never followed you. We should have never went with you. We should have never listened to you. We killed Jesus, the Son of God. We just opened the door for the salvation of men. They can be filled again with God's Spirit and God's life and God's nature." They, in the vision, they understood the gospel way greater than most of the Christians I knew. Wow. And they realized the detriment in the vision of what they helped accomplish. And while they're freaking out and I'm watching this, I'm going, wow, they know the scriptures. Wow, they understand what they were used to help accomplish in God's amazing wisdom. God just backed off and let them do what they do. Remember when Jesus said, "Do what you must. Now is the hour of darkness. Do what you came for." Why was it the hour of darkness? Because God just pulled back and said, "They'll do just fine. It's right at the right place. I'll just back out. They'll kill him. We win. Because ain't nobody stopping me raising him. And his blood, a man's blood, will be shed. And I will raise him to life and justify men." So powerful. When you think of this, think how much he must think of you and me. See, that's what no preacher ever told me growing up. Nobody ever told me this points to our potential, our value, our legacy, our heritage. Everybody just said it's because I was a sinner. No, no, no. It's because my creative value was lost. My purpose and potential was lost. He came to save that, not who, that which was lost. He's redeeming something. He's taking the truth that we were created to live in and created for. It was lost through Adam. It was regained through him. He was getting a lie off of us to put the truth in us. And the best sometimes we can preach is heaven versus hell instead of new life through Jesus Christ. New mind, new will, new emotions. Putting off the old man and his deeds, putting on the new man, renewed in knowledge, in agreement with and according to the same image of the very one who made me, Colossians 3:10. Yes. Yeah? Pretty scriptural. So in this vision, they're freaking out and they're saying all these things that they accomplished and that the raising of Jesus accomplished. And they were preaching the gospel in my vision better than a lot of us teachers. It was powerful. I'm like, whoa, yeah, wow. They get it. And in the middle of the chaos, Satan lifts his head up and he yells, silence, shut up all of you. And they went, pfft. And he still had that authority over them. And they got silent as can be. He said, listen, it's true. We played into the hand of God. It's true we raised him from the dead and now his blood will go upon the mercy seat. And all the scriptures make sense now. It's true. We cannot stop God. But you all know we can stop them. We've been doing it from the beginning. He said, remember Adam? Ha ha. Remember Eve? We'll just keep deceiving them. We'll make it all about them. In fact, we'll encourage them to go to church. We'll turn them religious, get them legalistic, get them to fight over what they believe, get them to live outside of grace and the leading of the Spirit. We'll get their knowledge to puff them up. We'll get them mad at each other instead of love each other. Listen, guys, we can't stop God, but you all know we can stop them. And they're all, yeah. We'll keep them in offense. We'll keep them in unbelief. We'll just get them hurt by their past and hurt by their loved ones. We'll make what people did matter way more than what God did. And all these examples just kept coming out that I see us get tricked by often. They just kept coming out in the vision. And it was an overwhelming moment, this vision. And it was all this entailing. And he called them in like a big sports team huddle and a rally. He said, are you all in with me? Yeah! Remember, we can't stop God, but we can stop them. Get in here! Ah! And they're all rallying. He said, to the north, south, east, west, go! Deceive! And they were all gone, and he alone was standing there. And I came out of vision, cried, and probably interceded for an hour. The first thing that happened to me personally, because I had the vision, was seek grace to never fit that vision. And never be on his side of that vision. Never get tricked into going and doing things for Jesus without becoming like Jesus. Never get tricked into serving the Lord without being his friend. Never letting what happens to me matter more than what he did for me. Amen. All those things got really sealed up in me. For a long time now, they've been sealed up in me. And there ain't a whole lot anybody can do about it. Just telling you. When my kids ran wild, it doesn't change the truth. When my wife was struggling all at the same time, 3 out of 4, you could feel alone if you don't understand what I'm preaching. You could just call the pastor for prayer. And if this don't change soon, don't know how long I can hold up, brother. I really don't know what that means. Because I wasn't living like a hurting man. I was living like a son. Because I was taught by this gospel to never wake up for what men could do for me. But to always wake up to be like him. So the gospel taught me to never wake up to be loved by anyone except him. And then that shifts my motive towards you. Because now you don't owe me a thing. and I owe no man anything but to love. So now you can cancel disappointment, discouragement, frustration, letdown, offense. And all of a sudden I realized my whole life before Jesus, I was deceived. And I was living what I was never created to be. It just seems common to men.
Yeah.
And it's the way that seemeth right, but it doesn't produce life, so it can't be right. So we took a long, hard look at that in the bedroom and in the Word and said, wait a minute. The tables got turned when Adam got separated from God. And he didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy and he became completely self-centered. That's been my problem since I was born. So I must be born again. So I'm going to listen to Jesus. And I'm not going to pray a prayer to go to heaven and escape hell. I'm going to deny myself, pick up my cross, and now we're following Jesus. What happened to deny yourself, pick up your cross? Have people gotten so legalistic that we've got hurt so we got away from the message? Have people got so into works that we can't hear the truth that liberates us?
Come on.
Just because people mishandle the truth doesn't mean it's not the truth. What are you going to do? Just preach grace so liberal that we can live any way we want? And then the other group says, ah, and they tighten. And when they tighten, this group says, looser. And now you've got this pendulum, and Jesus is right here. Well, it ain't all about this love, brother. You got to preach the judgment, too. Sometimes we just honor more what we were trained by. That we get tricked into trying to always find out what we don't agree with instead of what's true. We always listen for what we... That's a scary thing. Jesus was probably always right. Safe to say? Let's take out the probably. Jesus was right. And somehow men had the ability to hear what they heard. And the whole time he was right. To the degree that they would release Barabbas and crucify him and believe it was right. But everything he spoke was truth.
Yeah.
And men couldn't hear it as truth. That's scary. That's sobering. It's amazing how they were geared to listen to him to hear what they didn't agree with instead of what he was saying. We can do that so easy today. You can just look at somebody. I know people have pushed my name with leaders and people. Don't do that. Well, you got to listen to this. And then they feel threatened. So then they'll hear like I opened up in that little 4-minute thing in the beginning and talked about sin and righteousness. You can't even preach it. And they'll hear me say something like that. Say, oh, turn it right off. Oh, heresy flag. Well, he doesn't even believe he sins. When I didn't say that. Because they really don't want to hear in the first place because they're a little pressured to begin with and feel a little threatened and maybe you're making him an idol and why do you listen to him so much? Well, if you listen to me much, you hear me say, don't just listen to me. You better get with Jesus and have a relationship and get close to him. It's not even cool to go to sleep with me talking if you haven't talked to him. I tell people that all the time. I preach it from the pulpit. People think they're flattering me and honoring me. They say, I listen to you day in and day out, 24/7. I even go to bed with you playing, man. Sometimes I wake up and you're still going. And I'm like, when do you ever spend time with Jesus? Do you realize that you could... Jeff, would we drive 50 miles in a car and not talk? No. Who's somebody here? You've never met me personally and I don't know you at all. Sir, would you and I drive 50 miles tomorrow in a car and not talk? Even though we don't know each other a bit. Would we drive each Would we drive and not talk? Well, I know that's not true because I'm in the car. I can't even speak for you. But I think we would talk, wouldn't we? Why? So we wouldn't drive 50 miles and just not talk to each other. Why do we do it with the Lord all the time? Why do we listen to messages about Him, songs about Him, and maybe never be intimate, personal, and close with Him? And let talking about Him and singing about Him take the place of knowing Him when knowing Him transforms you. So you can have ringtone, screensaver, Jesus t-shirt, bumper sticker, crosses on the screensaver, ringtone, hallelujah. Christian music, Christian teaching, and the whole day go by and never be face to face. And let the things you do in His name take the place of knowing Him. And let those things identify you as His. People drive 50 miles all the time in their car and have no communion with Him. But for 50 miles played songs all about Him and rocked it and said, man, I love that worship. Wow, her voice is amazing. Just saying. It's something to think about. I'm not being mean. I want to stir you into something that'll develop a knowing. Because knowing about Him will never change your life. In fact, in the long run, it'll condemn you because you'll feel like your life doesn't measure up to what you know. But knowing Him is a guarantee. Change your life. Are you guys good with that kind of stuff? Oh, sharp. That was sharp. I said that gentle with a smile. That baby was two-edged right there. I just felt it go into the hearts like butter, man. Oh. Yes, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Love you too, man. That's what it felt like just a minute ago. It was actually kind of neat sticking that sword in. I felt it go, oh. Do it. Yeah. I didn't feel any resistance on it. It was just like this moaning, yeah. That's what I perceived. It just felt like the sword going right in. I'm bleeding good now, Lord. You shed your blood for me. See, we got to learn from Jesus. We learn what's true through Him, not through coffee table debates. Not through hashing scripture. Don't get caught in those scripture things that get heated. That's just knowledge puffed up against knowledge puffed up. Nobody's going to win. Bah. Like, how are you going to take somebody that's not Christian and try to talk your faith over their faith? No, they're going to know Him through your love. It's your life that's going to speak. In fact, in the Bible, they didn't go out and evangelize and try to get people to nod their head and believe what they believe. They lived, preached, manifested, and people said, what must I do to be saved? I want that. What is that? I'm in. Their evangelism was their life. Not a bullhorn. I'm serious, and I'm not. Don't get mad at me if you go in a corner with a bullhorn. Just please make sure if you go, you go with the heart of God. Because most of the people out there with a bullhorn are misguided, and they're just shouting at people what they're not and what they need to be. And they're mad at them while they're doing it sometimes. And they say, well, of course I love them, or I wouldn't even be out here. I've seen people duty-driven. And miss the heart of God a million miles over. Just duty driven. Ooh. Don't get mad at me. You're a giveaway. If you get mad at me, you should be. That's a warning to your heart. Because if I'm wrong, you ought to feel bad for me. Don't get mad at me. When Christians get mad at preachers, it's a giveaway that you don't know Him either. You're sitting there mad thinking, well, he ain't. And you're mad. You're just proving to yourself you don't know him either, because he ain't mad. When sin abounded, grace abounds more. So if I was up here really messing up, you shouldn't get frustrated with me. That's a giveaway. You should cry for me. You should at least pray something from your heart for my sake, because if I'm that lost, you should care. Not be mad. And get in the car and say, so what did you think? Well, I think you're a little flaky. I wish we wouldn't even came. Well then, join the crowd. We all need Jesus more. You know what would be better? If you'd break down and cry when your friend says, what do you think? Well, I just think he's a little misguided, and I think he's a little overconfident. I'm just concerned, and let's just pray that he gets a deeper revelation, because he's a living soul, and I just want God and him to know. I would feel a lot better if you would go that way. I'm just having fun with you. Isn't it amazing how we think anger and frustration is normal? Because you were that way from before you could speak a language. They took your binky and you weren't done with it. You turned colors you weren't made to be. You made sounds that weren't normal to man. Do you ever see a child can't even speak and get so frustrated and pent up inside they didn't know what to do? Barely 2 years old, just throw flat out on the floor. And then just bang their feet. Who taught them that? The parents didn't. Well, some parents might have taught them. Most of the time, the parents didn't teach that. Did you have to study to be angry? Did you have to take a test? Did you have to stay up late at night to accomplish self-consciousness? How about disappointment? Did you have to read a couple chapters and work at it to get a grade? I'm glad you're so thrilled with this. This is a good revelation. I like it. I'm encouraged. I'm going to stick with this a while. Here's the deal. Some people say, well, Dan, God gave us emotions. No, stop. Stop giving him credit for what you were. That's Adam. Adam gave you those emotions. You were born into Adam. So all your emotions flowed out of a self-centered wellspring. The fall of man was at the core of your existence. You were born into Adam. So everything you manifested from birth was contrary and opposite to his image, but you're made for his image. So you were born into Adam and you must be born. That's a transformation of image. So you put a death to the old man and his deeds and life to the new man. Trouble is, we still gauge ourselves by ourselves, and we think our experience is still our story, and we embrace his story and wrap it around our story. Or we bring him into our lives instead of him becoming our lives. So we try to bring new wine into old wineskins. It doesn't work. So we proclaim his name, but don't bear witness to his name in everyday life sometimes. And we say, well, nobody's perfect, brother. Well, we all have our moments. And then we deceive ourselves with our speech. Well, yeah, but brother, everybody has his moment. Well, no, that's why you have yours. Because you believe that. You have what you believe. If you don't wrap faith around this truth, the truth will never be your reality. But you're saved by grace through faith. So if you wrap faith around the truth, grace will come to make truth your reality. So if you actually believe, you don't have to love yourself and live for yourself in the world's way, and you can actually love not your own life unto death, I'll bet you grace will make it possible. If you're alone in a bedroom talking like that to God from your heart, I bet you Holy Spirit's excited about that, and grace starts coming into you to make what you desire yours without you biting your lip and trying so hard. I bet if you're just willing to give up your Adam-given rights. Come on. Pastoral counseling, 90-some percent. People issues, feelings, disgruntlements. Can't cope. 90-some percent. I'm not dishing on us. I'm talking to a pastor. Who's a pastor here? 90-some percent of counseling is people struggles. It's an indictment that we don't know Him that well. It's an indictment. And we're marked by our own lives that way, that, wow, I need to get to know Him more. Becoming a Christian doesn't give you more rights, it takes them all away. To give you one right, to be like Him,
amen.
Period.
Amen.
So you're going to call a marriage counseling session and you're not going to look at each other and I'm going to ask who's going to start and you're going to say, well, she knows it all, well, he's the mouth. And then I'm supposed to counsel that? It's impossible. You can't counsel unrepentant hearts. You got to become Christian. Yeah, you got to become Christian. You got to become saved. Like you could come to my church for years, and if you sit in a counseling room and do that, I'm calling you on it. With the door closed. I'm not telling everybody about it, but I'm calling you. I'm not going to let you be so religious that you can bear witness of claiming His name, but don't want to bear witness of His name in your life, your attitudes, your love. I'm not going to let you be that religious. I'm going to call you on that. When you want Him to give up everything for you and you don't want to give up anything for everybody? You want Him to forgive you of everything you've ever done and you don't want to forgive? Well, you don't know what they did to me. Wonder if God said that to you and had it all validated and marked and recorded. Well, I remember on February 22nd, they knew exactly what was right and they did wrong anyway. Then they went to church and raised their hands. Nobody even realized. Well, they're not even for me. And then he uses his own scripture that if they're not for me, they're against me. If they don't get it, they scatter. But we know He would never do that. He's too merciful. He's too kind. Well, isn't that what we love about Him? Well, what do you think they'll love about us? Talking about Him or being like Him? I lost my rights on June 9th of 1995. I lost them. I died to everything I was. So everything that He is, He could be in me. I actually got it on that night alone with God. I surrendered. I gave up my life. And then the scripture started to teach me it never was my life. It was always His life in me. I was never seen by Him apart from Him. Or He'd have marked me for my sin. No, He marked His Son so He could move back in. Sin evicted Him from His home. And He said, I'm living there because I know what that'll look like if I'm in there. I know what that'll be. I'm going to pay a price to get back inside. I am not going to let sin win. I'll take it in my own hands. I'll put it all on my Son because He's my Son from the beginning. I'll put it on my Son. When I raise Him from the dead, I'll justify Him. He'll rule the kingdom with a scepter of righteousness. I'll make Him right in my sight. I'll win this through death. I'll bring life. I'll put it on Him. He'll shed His blood and I'll put my life back inside of Him because, man, I love what I made Him to be, and it's all love can see. So on my darkest day, love didn't fail. And where sin abounded, grace abounded more. Not to empower sin, to destroy it and to pull me out of darkness into light so I could stand before Him. Yeah? It's the gospel. It's what's wrong with me. I believe it. You treat me wrong if you choose. It's not going to change this truth. You can write something nasty if you want to. It'll just give you away. Because He didn't write nothing nasty. Whew. He didn't write nothing nasty. He put all the nasty on His Son. And when He died, I died. And when He rose, I rose again with Him. Yeah? And I'm just going to let that truth change me and change how I see you now. Because if He sees me that way, He must see you that way. Because He died once for all. And anyone who comes, wow, this must be the truth for the world. This must be for every man. So all of a sudden, I want His eyes. I want His heart. I want His ways. I'm done living separate from Him when we're joined and made one. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm done having former attitudes when a new way has come. New life, new love, new mindset, new wisdom. I don't want the old if the new's come. Stop selling cheap when you're not for sale. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. If any man come after me, any man, you're all invited. Let him first deny himself. Why? Never made for you. Yeah. Biggest problem on the planet is men living for themselves when they're made for His image. Yeah. Perversion. The problem isn't politics. It's not President Trump. It's not ISIS. It's not racial conflict. The biggest problem on the planet is men waking up every day living for themselves when they're made for His image. Yeah. A bigger problem is church attending people being Christians for themselves instead of His great name.
Yes. Yes.
Come on. This isn't condemning. It's sobering.
Yes.
It's stark. It's, whoa. Yeah. I promise you, Jesus is cheering this kind of message on. He shed His blood and said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing." Don't you think the light of the world wants to change the don't know? And cause you to see? For this is why I was brought. He said so all might see. Yay. And if we're not careful, we reduce it. Reduce it into Him getting me through the day. What a demotion. What a self-centered focus. What a twist at the root of your faith. Just praying all your faith for a better day, for circumstantial calm. Well, you're just telling the devil that if the sea gets rough, you're done. Because you'll question your faith. Why'd God allow? What door did I open? What's He trying to teach me? And you're thrown. Your identity crisis deluxe because of wave. No sleeping in the boat. No going to the other side. No command of the Lord. Just freaking out for your life. And then you're dead giveaway to the enemy. And he says, "I got him." And then more pressure comes. And then more stuff comes. And then you... Why is God letting all this happen? He's not. You're positioned for it. You're being destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And in all you're getting, get understanding so you can sing that song. Man, I'm preaching the gospel right now. I feel it. I'm telling you, I feel it. You get better, I'm supposed to get better. I'm telling you, there is a trumpet sounding in the earth nowadays. God is making it clear because He loves. He's letting all that would hear. It's probably every generation had a level of this grace, but I see it like never before. He's crying out. He's shouting out. He's playing a clearer tune than I've ever heard. And there's more and more people singing in unison and just getting in tune with, I believe, the chorus of the Lord. Why? Because the love of God wants to hold men accountable and give them every opportunity to walk in the truth.
Yes.
So you can't stand before Him and say, "I didn't know that." But you stand before Him and realize you became that.
Yes.
Well done. You're clay. He's the potter. All clay does is yield.
That's right.
To the master creativity, ability, skill of the potter. You just yield. You're pliable. You're flexible. You're just the pressure of the potter. And then one day he just, ta-da. And people go, "Wow, look what He did. Look what the Lord did." Ain't that awesome? He doesn't want to live in a house made with hands. He wants to live in you. I've been saying this
for way over a year now, almost everywhere I go, I say it at one point in all the services. You gave me a lot this weekend. I'm excited. I'll say it right out of the gate. Suicide is more prevalent than we've ever seen. People think it's an option, an escape. It's an option. This is just my opinion. I believe it's the deepest expression of deception a man can be. That he can actually be tricked into taking something that's not even his. Because it's the self-centered lie that drives you there.
That's right.
And all of a sudden you say, well, it's my life. Well, it's my life. I'll do with it what I want. It's my life. Don't you even worry about it. It's my life. Never was, friend. It was never your life. It was always His life in you. So suicide isn't taking your life. It's taking His life in you. And it's the deepest deception that a man would be so self-consumed that he could do something thinking it's right and take what's never been his in the first place. Because God never made you to live alone. He never made you for you. He made you for His image. And the only reason you can believe the suicidal lie is because you haven't been pursuing that truth. And it's all about you. Talking like that, you hear how quiet it is? It's more important than you think in a room like this. You'd be amazed how prevalent those thoughts are in people that are singing Christian songs. Sometimes they're singing the songs in despair. Sometimes they're singing the songs in wishful thinking. Sometimes they're singing the songs hoping and wishing it was true in that way for them. But without getting a revelation and giving themselves and seeking and hearing this stuff and go, whoa, the more you sing those songs and things don't change, the more you tend to believe the lies. You'd be amazed what I perceive right now. And if we were honest, how many people actually felt like in recent moments that suicide is optional in their life? It's grave deception. And if it does come to your thinking, cast it down quickly by holding up truth. And you want to get to know Jesus real quick? Stop just thinking in your mind. Start activating your heart. And as soon as a thought like that would come, say, Lord Jesus, I thank You. You made my life worth living. I thank You that I have value in You and I have purpose. And I thank You that nothing is solely my own, man, except Your life in me. Because You took my sin, You took my yesterday, You took my waywardness, You took my inability, and You start just shedding all that off and then You just put on Him right in the midst of the lie. Don't even address the lie. Don't talk to the devil. He's a cut off withering branch. Let him there. Look, you see what happens if you give a mic and put somebody up here? They manifest. Don't put Him up here in your life. He doesn't need your attention. There's two things in my life I tell people all the time I never think about. Sin and the devil. Never think about it. Scripture tells me to live that way. I'm not unaware of His devices, but I give Him no place. I don't think about Him. Think about Jesus. Think about salvation. Think about truth. Think about wisdom. Think about love. I don't think about enemy attack. What's he doing? Is he around? You said it. Sometimes you just need to let Him pull up a chair and watch you live your life in Jesus and worship Him. You say, well, wouldn't you be freaked out if He was in your bedroom? I'm sure He's in my bedroom quite a few times. Let Him come in and suffer if He wants to. What do I care if He's there? In fact, my first and really most real encounter with demonic in my bedroom, it was face to face, really. It was right there. And it spoke to me. I was more aware of my salvation in the presence of the enemy than before he walked in the room. When he walked in the room, I perceived him and I realized, I was reading a book and I went, and I realized He had nothing to do with me, and I had nothing to do with him. And I actually got really fired up. And out of my mouth, I said, I couldn't see, but I knew he was standing right there. You could feel it. And I said, what do you have to do with me and me with you? I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, wasn't an ounce of human fear. It wasn't, ew, freaky, the devil. Ew, witchcraft. No, it was this amazing awareness of salvation. And then you find your Bible and you read this stuff and you go, whoa! It's just not in any way terrified. It's Philippians 1. It's the end of the chapter. Not in any way terrified by your adversary. Right before that it says you walk in a manner worthy of what you're called to and paid for. You walk in a manner. That's not works. That's not legalism. Come on. That's you were paid for something. You were bought into something. Put it on. Rejoice and follow him. Right? It says not in any way. Not in any way terrified by your adversary. To him, it's proof of his destruction, and to you, evidence of your salvation. Not, I need prayer. The devil was in my room. I don't need prayer for that. I got somebody interceding and mediating on my behalf, and he happens to be far above. Not boasting right now, except in him. Don't get nervous by my language. I've been doing this for a while. If I was popping off, I'd have been run over a long time ago. I just don't feel run over. Oh my goodness, I got to get off this. Nope, I'm regrouping. No matter how much you pull on me, I'm going to regroup here. God, you're good. Yeah, that's an easy regroup. God, you're good. Don't get tricked. Well, if God's good, how come when I was 3? Well, if God was good, then why'd my aunt? If God was good, how come my mom? Don't get tricked. We ask the wrong questions. Every time they asked Jesus a question from the wrong place, he never answered. Check your Bible. He instead asked them a question. Many times. When he perceived that they were off, out of bounds with their motive in their question, whether it be hurt, frustration, challenge, judgment, pride, he said, let me ask you a question. So when you say, well, if God was good, then how come? And I would say, let me ask you a question. If God wasn't good, why did he send his son while we were yet sinners? Let's not miss the barometer of his goodness and getting rooted and grounded in love. Because faith worketh through love. So if love's in question, faith is always shaking around. If God's love isn't established and you don't recognize his love through sending Jesus and you're still letting life challenge him. Do you know how many people look at life and define God through the way it's working out? And you think you know God through life? You know God through his son. When you see his son, you see the Father. Not when you see your life unfold. Not when you see the outcome of your circumstances. How many people have looked and watched somebody pass? Well, God, or seen an accident. Well, you know, sometimes God just... And somehow we're always given an analogy and trying to spiritualize, but we're actually misrepresenting him in the process many times. You follow me? I have a relationship with my granddaughter. I'm not going to go into detail, but it's been amazing. She's 12. It's hard to tell these things from the pulpit because people tend to get condemned by the stories and judge themselves against the story instead of be empowered by the story. So they say, well, that's not my relationship with my grandpa. Or the grandpa says, well, you can count me out. That hasn't been my life. And that's not why you tell these things. You tell these things so we can repent and get established and let the rest of our years be lived in truth?
Yeah.
Is it about falling or getting up and running well?
Come on.
Is it about blowing your testimony at work and then just saying, oh, well, or letting the beauty of repentance be seen by your coworkers, and 6 months later they forget the last 6 years because the 6 months in front of them are like, wow. But I asked the Lord why my granddaughter's the way she is with me. I had an amazing grandpa. He was, I always said he was 6 months shy of 100. He was actually 4 months shy of 100. And he was 99 and 8 months. And he passed. When I was doing his funeral, I realized at his funeral, when I was speaking out and blowing a trumpet on behalf of his character, I realized that at age 48, I was 48 when my grandfather passed. What a blessing. Some people are 48 and they've lost their parents. I was so blessed. I was doing his funeral and my six cousins were there. There's seven of us. And I mentioned that I had no memory of my grandfather expressing frustration towards me, angry, or disgusted in my entire life. And all my six cousins started crying out of control, because they all had the same testimony. And our oldest cousin was in girls' homes at 13, 14, 15, doing drugs, sleeping around, pregnant by 15 or 16. And Grandpa never showed one expression of disappointment towards her, frustration or anger, never talked to any of us with a raised negative voice. And when I shared that, my cousins lost it because that was their experience too. So I decided in my heart, my granddaughter was five, and I thought, I'm going to have that with her because I already have that up till now. We're going to have that. Well, she's 12 and we have that. But this is what I saw. My granddaughter never puts me in the position to be that way. So now it's working both ways. And I said, Lord, how's this possible? Why is she like this? She was nine. I took her for 8.5 hours in a car one way. Nine. 8.5. One way. 2 nights in a hotel and 8.5 back. That's a long trip, 9 years old. 17 hours in a car and 2 nights in a hotel. Not even a remote complaint out of a nine-year-old. Fun, laughing, having the time of her life, sitting on the front seat, Indian style, seat belted, facing me, talking, laughing, and just having a blast. You say, well, you're probably spoiled or silly. No, no, no. The kids that I see spoiled, what you call spoiled, have attitudes, throw fits, and help you spoil them. She's far from spoiled. If Grandpa says no, she never even asks again. And I said, Lord, how's it possible that she's this way? I understand my end. I see her for a child. I want to love her like you love me. I just want to manifest to her goodness and grace and mercy without empowering and enabling weakness. I want to bring strength into her through loving her. I get my end. But how is a nine-year-old the way she is? I wouldn't think twice if she'd have complained on an 8.5-hour drive. But she didn't. And it impressed me. And I said, Lord, how can she be this way? And guess what he said to me? He said, it's the result of her seeing you for who you are. And she sees the way you see her. And it brings the best out in her. And I started to weep, and he said, Dan, and he flipped it totally spiritual on me. He said, do you see why it's important from the beginning for men to see who I am and to know me? He said, no wonder my name has been so botched and misrepresented. You could have 12 Christian camps and they all have a different view of God and different teachings. He says in Ezekiel, my own people went into the nations, and everywhere they went, they profaned my great name. Profaned it. They're made to represent me. The reason they're my people is so the nations of the world would know me through them. But everywhere they went, they profaned my great name. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring them back together, put a new spirit in them, put a new heart in them. And I'm not doing it for their sake. I'm doing it for my great name.
Yeah.
You You see the importance of men seeing him for who he is? Now here's the punchline, and I'll close with this. You're the representation of his name. He made you his representation. We understand Jesus is, but Christ in you is the hope of God's glory on this earth. And he says, what is man that you are even mindful of him, that you would visit him? What is it with this man that you would give him dominion over the works of your hands? What's up with this man? Because he knows what he made from the beginning. And he knows your destiny, your potential, and your purpose. And he knows what you'll look like when he's in you and you're surrendered. You're the roster of heaven. You're the best he's got. And I promise you, you're not here to be blessed in your everyday circumstances. That's great when it happens. You're here to be a blessing and to shine. And the number one reason you wake up every morning is to shine. Yeah. It's to love like he loves. Not to catch a break. Not to get a breakthrough. The stone already rolled away.
Right.
You got a breakthrough. If you could let this gospel teach you this one thing tonight, that every morning you wake up, you've settled this in your heart through prayer, you've confessed it, you've yielded, you've held your hands up when nobody was looking, you closed a bedroom door believing he was in the room, and you've declared this over and over, and it becomes your belief that when you wake up in the morning, nobody owes you a thing. That one truth right there will change your disposition in your life. Your days are getting hurt, brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. We think that means our hearts always get broken. He heals it. Break, fix, break, fix, break, fix. No. He heals the brokenhearted. He comes and changes your perspective, puts a new eye in you, the lamp of your body, teaches you to never be broken anymore. See, we teach that everybody's getting broken. We have altar calls and call to move of the Spirit to mend our broken hearts. And some of us have been up to get our hearts mended 20 times. 20 times in 2 years. I'm just being real. And instead of teaching, see, we're teaching, hey, our hearts get broken, he heals it. Why don't we teach why you don't have to be broken? Because if you're not teaching that, I'm not being mean, the altar call's a deception. You're just teaching men, hey, life's tough, it's going to catch up with you, you're going to get burnt. When it hurts you, hey, at least he's the one that mends you, makes you feel better. Now, see, that peace, awesome, yeah. Ooh, you're weeping, and 2 weeks later, you're hurt again because your perspective hasn't changed. You try to hurt Jesus. Yeah, because you just... I am not carrying this cross anymore. I'm done. Are you kidding me? You think I'm going to let them hit me one more? I let them hit me too much. Look at me. Barabbas, are you kidding me? He kills a man. I raise the dead. They want to release him and crucify. I'm not going on the cross. He causes conspiracy. I'm here to try to make peace. And they want to kill me and let him go. I've had enough, man. I've been thinking about that. That's a straw that broke my back. I was good up until now, but that Barabbas thing just pushed me a little too far. I mean, it's enough that I healed all their sick and spoke truth in the streets. I multiplied their food. I even raised their dead. And they want to crucify me. They want to scream Barabbas when he did nothing but hurt them and I came to help them. Look, if they didn't change by now, they probably ain't never going to change. And I'm not sure what I liked about them in the first place. I ain't dying on that cross. So you ain't never read that chapter about Jesus in your Bible? And you know what men say? They say, well, he couldn't say that or do that because he's Jesus. He couldn't say that and do that because he's love. Don't make him a special man. What makes him a special man is he's love. Because everybody else would be different. So he's the way. And he's the truth. And truth makes you free. And in that truth is life. And nobody comes back. I put the word back in there. Nobody comes to the Father. Back to the Father. That's what the cross is all about. Yeah. Not taking you to heaven.
That's right.
Getting you back to the Father.
Amen.
so the Father can get back in you.
Yes.
And then you can follow Jesus. And when he said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. When you've seen me, you've seen him. That's your life calling. And somehow we thought it was about blessing. Getting me through the day. How you doing, brother? Well, keep me in prayer. Hanging in there. I got some trouble. You ask the average Christian how they're doing. They'll tell you their two biggest challenges and say, keep me in prayer. Which means we're only doing as good as it's going. Instead of as good as he is in me. And why? Could you think, go up to Jesus, how you doing today? Well, struggled a little last night. Had to get over the people a little bit. I mean, they were thronging me. It bugs me so bad. I fed their bellies, and the only reason they came back is because they wanted me to feed them again. They could care less about what I'm saying. And if they could care less about what I'm saying, then they're never going to change because they really are just needy. That means they don't even love me. They just need me. They're turning me into their servant, not their savior. I don't even know if I'm going to preach the truth today because it doesn't seem like they even want it. Could you imagine meeting Jesus and him say, but I'll tell you what, just keep me in prayer because I'm working on it. I'm hanging in there, though. I'm hanging in there. I like using those illustrations because it shows what he's not to show us what we could never be. Don't need to ever be. Right? Y'all good? You get something out of tonight? Is it really 5 of 10? I didn't even think about the time in this house. There must be some freedom here. Man, I've been in some churches lately ending a lot sooner than this. This feels good. I hope you're okay. Are you really okay? Okay. God, you're good. Let's do something real quick. Can we do? I'm going to pray something over you guys. Can I?
Yes.
You guys getting something out of this?
Yes.
Watch this. Oh, this will be convicting. Good, convicting. Good. That's going to shine light upon. Don't be scared of the word conviction. Conviction's good. Watch. There's nothing I preach tonight that you can't pursue and live by faith.
Absolutely.
Apart from any other circumstance or person in your life. You can wrap faith around this truth. No matter what's going on in your family, what your spouse is deciding right now, what your children are doing. If we understood what we're preaching tonight, there wouldn't be so much hurt within the church. There wouldn't be so much disdain towards leaders and pastors. There wouldn't be so much, well, yeah, she goes over to that church. That's why I don't go. Well, maybe that's why you should go. I heard a pastor say this when I first got saved, and I didn't totally understand it, but boy, I do now. He said this long 21-22 years ago. I heard him early. I was just barely saved. He said, he was talking about love, and he said, if you wouldn't place yourself with the people you're with, and you would let God do it, because we place ourselves with the people. We pick friendships compatible, that bless us, that serve us. And if somebody challenges us, they're not our friends. Oh, we'll say hi to them. We won't be mean, but we don't call them on our day off. There's not who we're going shopping with or fishing. And I heard him say, if you would let God put you with the people he wants you with, you'd be amazed. It's people you'd never put yourself with. Because it's people that would position you to bring out the best in you, not just allow you to stay the same. I don't want to serve in that ministry. I don't know. I can't get along with him or her. That's probably the very reason you should jump in that ministry. Let Christ get formed in you. Take it from a guy that flies almost every weekend. I sit on airplanes and I get talking with folks. And you can't believe the number of people that say, oh, well, I used to go to church. And it's always a memory of hurt, let down, and pain. And when they say, I used to go to church, their relationship is always hindered by this.
Yeah.
Like when they say, I used to go to church, they don't have this. Not that you have to go to church to have this, but their hearts are hurt and it's impeding this. So I address that and they usually end up crying because I address it right away. I say, listen, I hear what you're saying and I get it and I've realized people, but let me ask you this, what's that have any reflection to do with just who God? Oh, well, no, I believe in the Lord. No, I'm not talking about belief system. I'm not talking about serving doctrine. Talk about knowing him, being in love with him, receiving his love every day. And my voice will get gentle and I'll start saying the right things for their life and they're crying quick. Why? Because their hurt towards you and me is robbing them of knowing Him. Because the reason they're to know Him is to love you and me. You see how perverted it gets? And people say, oh, well, I believe. You with me? We can live this, can't we? It's for everybody in the room. There's nobody. If you feel like this isn't for you, you're believing wrong things. If anyone, that would be you, friend. If anyone would come after me. And watch this. Nobody comes unless he's drawn. So if you have even a heart toward God, guess why? He's drawing you. Well, why would he draw you? Because he wants you. So you might say nobody likes me, but you're wrong. He's drawing you.
Yes.
Father, I just thank you for grace in here. I thank you for every person. Anyone. I thank you no one's left out. If anyone come after me, let him do this first thing first. Deny himself. Father, I pray that no one could leave here tonight and just be a Christian for their own gain, their own self, their own sake.
Yes.
Even their own well-being or longevity. Don't let heaven, eternal life be our sole motive.
Yes.
Let your life be our motive.
Yes.
Because in you we have eternal life. You're the eternal one. Let us be found in you before any other motive. Let you be the number one reason. Your image, your person, your love, your wisdom. God, I just pray, Father, tonight, by the truth of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit, you would impregnate us with this revelation.
Yes.
And even if for some reason we find ourselves living outside of this truth, let us not do it without knowing. And let that knowing bring us right back to this truth. So, Father, I'm asking you to do that. Mark us literally tonight with a conviction that won't leave us alone until this becomes our testimony. And thank you that our lives really matter that much to you. And whether we know it or not, they matter that much to others. You said when they become one like you and me are one. That's what you said, Lord. When they become one like you and me are one, Father. Then the world will know you sent your son. So thanks, you're doing it in us, and we say yes. Ooh, you might want to pray this with me in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud or repeat it like puppets, just from your heart. God, you never made me for me. It's not my life. I just give back what was always yours. I give up rights that I inherited through sin. I give up rights through selfishness. I give up all the emotions that came along with that. And I want you to come into me and transform me into everything you intended and created from the beginning. Let what grace paid for mark my life and let it all come to pass. Let what you desire be my expression. I give myself to you the best I understand and say yes to becoming love. Amen?
Amen.
That's just a good little model prayer, guys. You can pray from your heart when nobody's looking. Let's do this real quick. We won't have to take super long with this. I won't do it probably like I normally do it because of time. Because we got a lot of sessions together tomorrow too, if you're coming, unless I ran some of you off. But if you're sick tonight in any way, just stand to your feet. We're not going to be long with this. We're not going to be religious, I promise. Please don't stay in your chair. Don't say, well, you know, I did this before. It's not about nothing happening. It's about believing God.
Yes.
And if you're turning faith into a point in time, that's already going to be a problem. You don't ever turn faith into a point in time. You turn faith into what it's always meant to be. It's belief. It's the position of your heart to believe what He paid for. So a Christian should never be afraid to be prayed for. Do you know the number one reason Christians don't pray for other Christians? Because they're afraid nothing will happen when they pray. So because they don't pray, they have what they're afraid of. So they're afraid nothing will happen, so they don't pray, so they already have what they're afraid of without even praying. They always have nothing. So how about just dying to ourselves tonight, and let's just get a little involved. Would you? Stand to your feet, please, if you need prayer. No, no. If you need prayer, if you're sick in this place, stand to your feet. Come on. I need you to stand. Thank you. Thank you. Good. About 12 more. Good. I need about 6 or 7 more. Just stand to your feet. I'm not going to call nothing out. I'm not giving words of knowledge. You have less than wholeness going on. Please stand to your feet. It's less than wholeness. You're not yourself and you know it. And don't say, well, yeah, but brother, I'm already in faith. I get that. It says, if any among you sick, well, I don't want to confess it. You're not. Is any among you sick? Let him ask for prayer. By standing, you're not confessing sickness. You're saying there's something in my life that I know he paid to remove and that's not to be me. That's all it is. You're not claiming it. People are afraid to say, you know, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Just stop. How can we ever pray for stuff if we can't? What we're saying is, but I know, that would be like me coming by Jason and saying, hey, buddy, how are you? And he does his normal, wow, I'm doing great. But he has a headache that feels like it's splitting his head in half. And he's saying the right thing. What would be so much better is he'd say, Dan, I am so glad you asked. Man, right now my head feels like it's going to split. Buddy, but I know he paid a price to get this thing out of me. I've been praying, but grab my hand, agree with me, because this is not what God paid for in my life, a headache. He paid to remove it. That's faith. Just saying, I'm blessed, brother, coming in, going out, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm doing great, man. And I say, oh, cool, I'm glad you're good. And you're hurting because you got so excited, it's beating even harder. No, a higher level of faith would just be humble and say, you know, I'm going through something that I know he paid to remove. Yeah. So you're not confessing it, you're not claiming it. That teaching got out there and people are afraid to ask for prayer. I'm glad you stood. Wow, I got my people now. I can feel it. If you're standing near them or sitting near somebody standing, just stand up. Just say, hey, I want to hold your hand and agree with you. Please. I'm not going to do this like I normally do it. We might do it tomorrow a little different. I just want to do it. I just want you, don't pray yet. Don't pray. Just go claim somebody. Grab somebody. Grab somebody. Just claim them. Say, hey, I want to stand with you. I don't want anybody just alone. Just stand with them. Okay, here's what we're going to do. The Bible says if you have faith, you're going to say to the mountain, right? So you're going to say, move. In fact, we can do this. I wasn't even going to do this. But if you're needing prayer and somebody grabbed you or they're standing with you, just tell them real quick. Take 2 seconds, tell them what you're standing for. You don't have to tell them a long version. Just say, man, I feel arthritis pain all through my body. Man, I got a herniated disc. Man, I got degenerate knees. Man, I got kidney troubles. Whatever, just tell them. 2-3 seconds, you should know. Everybody know? Everybody know? Good. The reason I did that is so we can release faith, okay? Now listen. Listen, this is important. This is going to bring freedom. Watch. People get self-conscious when they pray. We don't even realize it. We want them healed. We are sincere. We try to pray hard, right, powerful, and it works, and it's not good. Your prayer never heals anybody. It's your faith in His finished work and His love for them. Like, be honest, who's prayed for people you get more conscious about what you're going to say than Him healing them? And you're trying to pray right, pray powerful, kind of get that connection where God shows up and prays. You know what I'm saying. So we're not doing that tonight. You people that are being prayed for, we're not trying to receive. You're just thanking Him that He loves you and He proved it through His Son. That's all you're doing. The people praying for you are going to be specific since you told them what it was. And we're just going to pray a little simple prayer. It'll probably last 4, 5, 6 seconds. Like, knees be healed, pain you leave, arthritis you go. In Jesus' name. Why? Because you believe through the sending of His Son that He loves them and paid for their restoration. We just want to keep it that simple. Whenever you're prayed for in your life, you have one response. Thank you for loving me. Thanks for giving your life, Jesus, and thanks for what you're doing in me. Not, still feel the pain. No, nothing happened. Well, maybe next time, brother. And then the person that prayed, yeah, I'll go sharpen up. Maybe we'll try again next time I see. I've been around us for a while. I've seen this stuff a lot. I've seen people say, I'm not going to ask for prayer because I'm tired of being disappointed. We should never live one day disappointed. You say, well, you don't know what I've been through. I know I watched my mother for 40 years sick. I saw more tubes hanging out of her than I saw out of most folks. I saw her go to the bathroom in a bag and and through a tube, and I saw her eat through a tube, and I saw her not get out of a bed for 15 years. But I'll tell you what I never did see. I never saw her complain. And I saw her shine in love on everybody that came near her bed. It was amazing. Because she settled in her heart a long time ago, I'm a Christian. I'm not an MS patient. And I'm on the earth to shine, not be mad. That was my mom. I have a pretty good heritage in my family with that stuff. You'd walk in a room and say, "Hey, Mom." And she'd say, "Hey." I'd say, "How are you, Mama?" "I'm fine." Why? Because she was. She wasn't an MS patient. She was a Christian. Ain't that something? When she passed, there was nurses and doctors at her funeral. That's unheard of. They came because they thought she was an enigma, patient of a lifetime. So they came to honor her at her funeral. And I had the mic. And I got to tell them why she was that way and what she believed. And how we complain if our cell phone battery's going dead. And our life is almost over if we can't find it. How we just complain because we woke up with a headache. How we're just so mad because the car didn't turn over, the tire was flat. And we let the whole day reflect what we're displeased with. And I used that at the funeral. And said, "You know why you're all here? Because you never saw that in her and you couldn't comprehend it watching what she's been through. And you came here because you honor her, so her life is carrying honor. God didn't do that to her, but man, did she keep her eyes on truth through the whole fight. Better learn to let all things work together for the good." It says two places in my Bible for sure that Christians should never complain. It gives you away. All of a sudden it's about you, not the kingdom. If you complain, it ain't about the kingdom. It's about you, how you feel and what you're going through. And I wish it would change. But let's seek ye first his kingdom. You going to pray? You ready?
Yeah.
So here's what I want you to do. God's going to move all through this. I'm a teacher. I'm sorry. That was pretty intense. You guys were like... It got earlier all of a sudden. It was like it wasn't even late. We were right back in a groove. I felt that. That was good. That was helpful. God's always teaching us. I want you to pray 5-6 seconds over that person. When they pray for you, all I want you to do is believe God loves you or he'd have never sent his son. Don't identify through the sickness. Don't identify through the fact that you were prayed for 4 times by people you knew were anointed. Wonder what's wrong with me. I must be blocking it. There has to be something blocking my hand. All of a sudden you're in a quandary and now you have identity crisis because you have so many questions. I am not a man with 20 questions. I'm a man with one answer. You got one answer. Live by it and let it settle everything. You with me?
Yes.
You ready to pray?
Yeah.
Simple, direct prayer. You tell that thing to leave. Bodies be whole. In Jesus' name, the people being prayed for, just receive his love and thank him, okay? Go ahead, right now. Pray for him. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, all through this room. Thank you all through this room. Healing. Restoration all through this room. Let their body be changed. Thanks. Yep. Now just say in Jesus' name, wrap that up. You don't have to pray longer. I'm telling you, it's just in Jesus' holy name. Father, because you love him, thank God he loves you. Thank God he loves you. Thank God he loves you. Are we like crazy late? How late are we? Are we crazy late? Are we okay? I wasn't going to do it this way, but check your bodies if you can. Not everybody can tell right away because of their conditions, but some of you can. Some of you would know. Just give me like 3 of you and you know your body changed when they prayed. Let me see who you would be. 3 of you for sure. What changed in your body? Okay. Oh, you know you're changed, don't you? So how do you know you're changed? What changed? What's different?
Like with the lines, it's
Okay, good. That's what I want you to do. Check some things out that were trouble. Check some things out. Lyme disease. She says as soon as they prayed, just things just started. Yeah? Good. She's crying. She's hard time talking because she knows something's different in her body. Somebody else, you know your body changed. Just encourage us. Talk to me. Who? Check your body. Check your body if we prayed for you and you would know to check your body. Go ahead. It's lined up. Was it something you could tell before for sure? You'd be able to know. So with your body, the way it is now, you're saying that thing ain't nothing wrong with it. And you feel good. That's awesome. You look like all smiling. Right behind you? Yeah. And that happened as soon as they started praying? When they were praying for you, it changed like that? Nice. Look at this. This is a hot section over here. Wow. What's going on, man? It was broken? You couldn't move it? It just doesn't... And it was hurting when you got here and it was like broken. You couldn't bend it. You say, well, it's just a finger. Yeah, too, it's your finger. That's awesome. So look, I know there's things happening in this room. There's some people you feel better. You just didn't feel all the way, so you didn't raise your hands. And there might be people that say, I feel the same. Watch. All three groups, the response is the same. You leave here tonight so thankful that he shed his blood. Not, what am I doing wrong? Thank you. You sent your son. Jesus, you shed your blood. God, you're for me and you're doing a work in me and I thank you. You're bringing change. That's not nab it, grab it, name it, claim it like people get accused of preaching. Sometimes the people that get accused, if you really listen, they're not preaching what they're being accused, actually. You're leaving here by faith and you're pursuing relationship. Not always a gift and a need met. Relationship. So if you crawl in bed and your hip grabs you like it does every night, and you say, there I go. See, I'm doing something wrong because I know that lady, she cried. I don't know why it never happens to me. That's a zero. You jump in bed and your hip grabs you and you go, Father, I thank you. You're doing something in me. I just know. And you're for me and you love me. And you go to bed in that place. You wake up in that place. That's how the hip changes. Amen. Amen. Because he's not a busboy. He's not a table waiter. He's a father. And faith worketh through love, not quandary and questions.
That's right.
Are you ready to believe this way and live this way?
Yes.
Lift your hands with me. We're going to close out right now. Father, I thank you. You're doing things all over this room in our bodies, our hearts, our souls, our spirits. I thank you for that time of healing and just believing that people are going to walk out of here and realize, man, this thing is different. I thank you that the people that couldn't tell right away because of the condition will just find out by night or morning or coming and going and rising and sitting and walking. I thank you they'll just say, man, you did something in my body. I thank you all weekend. There's just testimonies coming out of this last little 10-second prayer time. Father, you have empowered us to release what you paid for. Continue to keep our hearts in a simple, faith-filled place to keep manifesting you. So that men might know who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love you guys. Thanks.